your questions as landlords.
Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I'm very pleased to say that despite the terrible weather that we're facing this week, I've managed to get in here to the studio, and even if guests are finding it hard, I'm here. So today's program will be a chat program, and we will be talking about the things that are on our agenda for Senior Focus for the rest of the year, because we do think ahead, we plan ahead, and we need to announce things too to people to keep them informed, and knowing what's in the pipeline can be very helpful if you're planning your calendar. So the first big thing that we have to focus on is November, because we actually turn 10. Senior Focus will be celebrating its 10th celebration of broadcasting, and while we haven't been 10 years in New North Road in our new building, we certainly have been part of the Planet team, and we've been very aware that it's quite a long time. But on the other hand, I have to say there are people doing programs currently who have been involved with the broadcasting of their program for 27 years, and they're not old people either. So there's a number of ethnic programs around that support language and culture, and they have been going almost since Planet was formed. So we didn't form in the beginning, but we did have a predecessor. We had a program before us which was dedicated to seniors, and it ran for 10 years. So you might say seniors have had a program on air with Planet for 20 years, and I think that's quite an achievement. It requires a bit of planning, though, in terms of how do we actually have succession. I know when I started, I was phoned up and asked on a Wednesday whether I'd start recording that week in order to have the first program go out on Sunday. And it was a very small, tight fit to be able to get started and even contemplate what it might mean to start. And I guess when I started, I had no idea I'd be still broadcasting 10 years later. I'd never done it before, so while I'd done media and I was writing and I'd done a lot of public speaking, I hadn't actually done broadcasting as such. I had a strong interest in it and a strong interest in radio, but had never been any kind of performer in this field. So it was it was a leap of faith. It was a kite-flying number, and I was doing it very experimentally. So I guess if it didn't work out, I thought, well, you know, it's something I've tried. But I loved it, really, from the word go. I really enjoyed it. And because I enjoyed it so much, and attracted other people to come in and make programs with me, then it was doable. I could fit it in with the rest of my life. It was actually only when COVID came that it became somewhat of a challenge, a bigger challenge, and not a burden, but a real frustration, because I couldn't manage the quality. I was doing programs off my cell phone in the park, wondering, was the wind going to blow and spoil it? It wasn't really a situation one would want to choose. We had no on-site studio facility operating, and so it was play repeats, or if you were bold enough to make a program, it had to be on your phone, and you had to, like, they had to pick up on it, and there had to be technicians around and who were able to do that and upload the program for you. Now, and I was fortunate that we had two technicians, and they were working from home. They had actual space that they had set up for that purpose. So we did get through, and then when we thought we were going to move into the new building, we found that the roof was leaking. The wet surface areas like the kitchen and bathrooms and so on, toilet facilities, they couldn't be tackled by the tradespeople because of the roof situation. So that took some sorting, and then we were delayed getting into the building because of all this. So several months later, when we finally got into the building, I think it was a relief, but it was also new, and there was that kind of feeling of, oh, I wonder if I'll actually be stepping up and whether I'm ready to step up. It would have been easy to think about calling it quits. It wouldn't have been a hard thing to do, except that, as I say, I'd fallen in love with doing it, and I also knew there was such a need for it. The number of seniors who look after older people at home, their partner, who are caregivers, and they have not many opportunities to get updated, to get information they need. Yeah, they can find stuff on the internet, they can be searching, but how many of them got time to do that? And also, it is good to be able to listen to the radio while you're doing chores. I know some people have the radio on while they're working on their computer. Other people, it's while they're dusting or cleaning. Somebody's got to clean the shoes. And it's amazing how many small tasks there are that are not noisy tasks. So you can listen to the radio while you're doing them. And then you can also have a notebook handy to note down things that you might want to go back to search again or look up or have on hand. So we try to present a wide range of things. We are not trying to clone people or make people think in a particular direction. We want to expose people to as many ideas and possibilities as we can in the area of well-being and active and positive aging. Because there is a lot of positive research out there, and we know that media tends to be focused on the negative. So there's plenty of horror stories out there, and there's plenty of pain and discomfort in the world generally. None the least is what's coming out of Gaza, and which we're seeing almost nightly on the television. But really, on our program, we're not about trying to paint the world as a fairyland where nothing goes wrong. We're not trying to whitewash things or avoid things that are difficult, but we're trying to keep a balance, you know, because things are in balance. I mean, as much as we don't like some of the negative news, there is a lot of positive news out there, and unfortunately, in the corporate world, it doesn't always count. It's might be about kindness. It might be about a new way people have found to intervene to solve a social problem. It might be about people going the extra mile. It might be about courage and bravery. And I noticed that this week in my local community, the front page showed a presentation of a medal given to a family that now lives in Long Bay, but we're based in Christchurch at the time of the mosque shooting, and lost their son tragically, but quite gloriously he was able to do the most bravest thing of all, which was to confront the gunman, to actually seek him out in the way he moved, in the way this gentleman moved through the building, going towards the gunfire, calling out and making a lot of noise, because he was wanting to attract the gunman to shoot in his direction and make it possible for others to escape. And he deliberately used a different exit way in a different direction and a different way to approach the gunman so that that would give others greater chance. He saved many lives that day. And, you know, people like that are just extraordinary, and they deserve extraordinary recognition. So that was very heartwarming, that story. We, on air, sometimes interview people who've done extraordinary things, but I'm also conscious that sometimes the most extraordinary things that some people do are the quiet things, the things that are not seen, just the quiet chipping away at improving what they can do in their lives. Whether it's moving an eye muscle that they couldn't move last week, whether it's reaching out and being able to touch somebody in a very empathic way, because they were so restricted in their movement they couldn't even do that before. There are all sorts of small things where people make genuine effort. It's important that they try and they keep trying, and then one day the magic happens. They can actually do something quite amazing that they could not do for months and months and months. So I'm very impressed with just the number of people that I meet who have amazing stories. I'm, you know, sometimes stretched to make choices as to what we could put on, because really we have more material to put together in stories and programming than we have time. We're sometimes faced with the choice of whether we look at the big things, the big picture, and where legislation is perhaps failing us, where government's planning is missing in action, and we're looking into a future, a decade ahead, where seniors will be a quarter of the Auckland population, and we're thinking, I wonder if really they've thought about what our city needs to be like in 10 years' time. What do we really need to have in place? Have we got enough seating in public spaces? Have we got enough shelter at bus stops? And now, of course, we've got such extreme weather. We've got so many thunderstorms where you can be caught. You might only be a few minutes at the bus stop, but you can be drowned. There's a real need for shelter. And then, of course, there's lighting. I was asked on a survey this morning at the bus station, as to, you know, how safe I felt on the buses, and what did I think about how the bus services could be improved. And the first thing I thought of was lighting. Because it's so difficult if at night you're standing at a bus stop, there's no street lighting nearby, and the bus driver cannot see you. Because unless you put your torch on your cell phone on, you haven't got a hope of attracting attention. And in fact, drivers have said to me, you need to carry a torch, or, you know, have your cell phone charged so you can actually attract attention. And I thought, well, that's fine, but really, it shouldn't be that dark. We really actually need that lighting. It could be solar lighting, but it needs to be there. and I would recommend that you contact your local board. If you don't feel comfortable about the lighting in your area, at your bus stops that you use frequently, contact your local board members. And if you don't know how to do that, you just ask a librarian to help you look up on the internet and find some board members and copy down their emails and phone numbers and get in touch. And I have a request in with my local board at the moment for action on lighting in a particular park, which is also adjacent to a bus stop, where I've stood on several occasions and three buses have gone past. None of them have stopped for me. So if you've had any experiences at all with Auckland Transport that you're disaffected with, if you feel unsafe, if you don't like, for example, that the bus drivers refuse to lower the bus when they normally can, I know a lot of it getting very good at it now, but they don't, often you have to look hard at them and ask them. They don't actually do it spontaneously. I mean, I notice in Australia, as soon as they pull up, the first thing they do is lower the bus, and they pull up close to the curb, so you can just glide on. You don't have any struggle at all. And if you've got heavy bags and things, it makes a huge difference. But they are very much more customer-driven, and I'm sure their employment processes reflect that, and we need to get that sort of change happening here. So that's something you can do that can help and benefit other seniors. Thinking ahead, I've given you the month of November. I haven't given you a date because we need to do some planning around what sort of celebration we're going to have, what form it should take, how we should conduct it, and who we should invite. I mean, we'll want to celebrate people who've gone before, who've set things in motion to make this program possible, people who have been the foundation of Planet itself and who've led to Planet owning the building and New North Road, people who did the program for seniors that was called Positive Ageing that was happening before I came along, people who've been broadcasters on the program in the past, current broadcasters who are helping me, and those who are funding us, because it's all funded, all our New Zealand on air fees are paid by donations to Senior Focus. So I've been very, very impressed that we have had in the region of $800 in sponsorship or donations or payments this year, and that has given us a great deal of ability to keep going. And that's roughly half our fees for a 12-month period. So we are in the process of putting together funding applications, and out there in the not-for-profit sector, there are probably twice as many people chasing funds, and there aren't so many funds because, for example, with the pokie machines, they are not collecting as much money as they used to, so they haven't got as much to give out. Some of the corporates and foundations that fund larger amounts, they haven't got as much to give. Many are actually targeting a specific type of project. They're narrowing their focus on what they will fund as a way of actually getting rid of surplus applications, because it becomes such a huge job if you get literally hundreds of thousands of applicants and you have to turn so many of them away. So we're in the process of doing quite a lot of study. We're spending a lot of our spare time on this, and we're meeting with other people at Planet who've got similar problems, other programs that are struggling, and through coming together and working collaboratively, we're hoping that we will have some answers and we'll have more support, and we'll have a sure sort of basis, a solid basis for moving forward into the next decade. I might not be still the main program coordinator, I might not be broadcasting a lot in 10 years' time, but I want to make sure that Senior Focus exists, because we're going to have, as I said earlier, 1 in 4 Aucklanders over the age of 65. 25% of the population in Auckland will be over the 65 mark. And a great deal of them are people who are around today. So they're going to be 75, 85, even 95. And as we know, people are lasting longer. So if you look at that as a pattern, we're going to have quite a solid group of people who won't be as mobile, won't necessarily have as much contact with others. They won't get as much information. They may be part of the group that grow up without computers, that have not learnt computers as an adult, and they don't have that digital skill set to be able to find the information they need. You know, so often we're told, go to our website and you'll get all the information you need. Well, that's fine for people who can do that, but for people who can't, it's a burden or a barrier. And digital seniors operating out of libraries with their two-hour sessions that you can book in for, they are a great asset, and we'll do and we do a plug for them from time to time, simply because they're the one organisation, a not-for-profit organisation, a charity, that is actually trying to address this problem and trying to give people support where they need it, and strengthening their skill base. So if you haven't met them, you haven't tried their services, but you do have issues with information searching, or maybe you found something has changed on your phone or on your computer, the page looks different when you open it up and you're not quite sure really what to do now because you were quite comfortable before, yes, if that's happened to you, they're the people to go and see. Senior Focus recommends digital seniors. So digital seniors are based in most of the libraries across the North Shore. In fact, all of them, as far as I know. And the new library at Silverdale, they're in there. They're in the wonderful Birkenhead Library. And so they're different days of the week in different places. So you need either to go onto their website, digitalseniors.org.nz, or ask at your local library, when is the digital seniors time in this library? And they'll tell you. And if that doesn't suit, as I found, I've got a clash with my local library time, you might find a neighbouring library that's not too far away offers a time that suits you better. So just, you know, you can get into it. It's just a matter of planning and asking. The librarians are good because they will look at the timetable for all the different libraries across, and they'll find out what suits you and tee you up. Okay, so what's another thing on our agenda? Another thing is IDOP Day, International Day of the Older Person. And that has all, traditionally in the past, that used to be something where I was involved with Grey Power, and as the president of Auckland Grey Power, I was meeting with the mayor and people who had prominence in the senior community within their communities, and we were all invited to the town hall to have a morning tea, a celebratory morning tea with the mayor. And I remember Dame Kath Tizzard being there, and on one occasion she shoulder tapped me and said, "You've got to speak up about the gold card when the annual plan comes along at the beginning of next year. You've got to make sure that the Auckland Council that funds the additional support for the gold card from 3 o'clock, because remember our gold card in Auckland goes from 3 o'clock to midnight, and that part of the cost is borne by our council." And Dame Cass was at great pains to make sure that I was going to put the maximum effort into protecting that by having a real focus and campaign on that topic when it was needed. And I thought, yes, she's onto it, and she might not be active in a public role anymore, but she knows what's important, and she was adamant that you know, she'd get that point across to me, knowing that I had the role of being president of Auckland Grey Power and could mobilise some fuss if necessary. And I guess this is the thing, that these kinds of occasions, they bring people from the senior community together, bring them all out of the woodwork, and there would have been a good 100, 150 people there, and it was a wonderful celebration. So this IDOP, I have no idea what would happen at the town hall, but I certainly can say that Albert Eden Board are leading the way with a board response, because they are putting up funding for small groups to apply for $100 to $800 to run activities and events within the first 2 weeks of October in association with IDOP, which is International Day of the Older Person. And it is all designed around older person's needs, valuing older people, and anything that you want to do in that area for your community or with your community, they would be very interested in supporting. So at the radio station, since New North Road is in that board area, we are definitely looking at doing some special podcasts and applying to Albert Eden Board for some funding for that. We also are looking at running some heritage walks in the Mount Albert area, starting and finishing at Planet at the studio, and we hope to announce that in the next few weeks, and that would be part of Heritage Week's program. So we're busy with a lot of things at the moment. It's not a quiet time, and so I appreciate that when we get people in the studio, you get an exciting listening. But I want you to know that we're working hard, that we really do want to have a radio that reflects what you want, that lifts you, that gives you a lot of positives and a lot of energy. So our focus is good news, and we welcome our listeners. I look forward to having you next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Hey, are you a mum with young children? Feeling exhausted, low in sleep, low in mood?
We know what that's like, but there is a place you can go.
Try going on safari.
Safari multicultural playgroups are for moms and kids aged 0 to 5, especially anyone from a migrant or refugee background. The playgroups are free to attend. There is a pick-up and drop-off service and even free English classes.
For more information, email safari@belong.org.nz or visit our website belong.org.nz. That's belong, belong.org.nz.
Don't sit at home feeling lonely.
Come and join the fun at Safari.